Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 126, the second stanza. A river flows whose streams make glad the city of our God, the holy place wherein the Lord Most High has his abode. And what follows in the second stanza of Psalter 126.
Congregation, we wish to read from God's holy and precious word this afternoon from the book of Psalms and thereof the 87th Psalm. Before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 87, a psalm or song for the sons of Korah. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the Highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Selah. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee.
And now, see, form for the
administration of baptism, which can be found in page 126 of the Psalter book, the form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we, sometimes through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, and let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punish the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou, who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror and before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, the one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now ask the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used to that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein, to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mother Veni? Father Veni. Mother Vendriesten. Father Vendriesten. Mother Janssen. Father Janssen, Father Melgers, Mother Melgers, Mother Van Hagenbosch, Father Van Hagenbosch, Father Klassen, Mother Klassen. Dear parents, we are heard read together here in Psalm 87. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. Thus, we know that in all the nations of the world, that there is a writing up of the people. We can read that that happened at the birth of the Lord Jesus under the command of Caesar Augustus, and then all the world should be taxed. And then the people, they had to be numbered. That may be done for different practical reasons. We know that can be also in a human ruler a matter of pride, as it was in the heart of David when he also commanded the numbering of the people. But the Lord, who is worthy of all honor, and in the number of whose subjects is the glory of that great king, will also, we read, write up the people. And then he is going to count them, we read. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people. And we read here that the Lord, he is going to count those births. It says that this man was born there. Then he is going to count the number of the children who were born. And we know when they take such a census in this world that they are recording then also the place of their birth. And so we can read it here that of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. Thus also of that holy census, when the Lord takes it, he is going to count how many of them were born in Zion. That is, as we hope to hear the Lord willing in this hour, that are born among that true people of the Lord. And that holy census of the Lord that will be considered, we can read in his word, in two respects. In the first place, it will be considered in an outward respect concerning the natural birth of the children and your child that you have baptized in this day will be written on that holy census. That is, that your child was born among the true church of God. That your child was born among that outward Zion. And the Lord considers this to be the greatest privilege that a man can receive in this entire world. Greater than all the honors that can be found in the world. Greater than all of the riches that can be found in the world, the Lord considers this birth in his Zion to be. And because the Lord considers this the greatest of privileges, the Lord also considers this the greatest of responsibilities that do lie upon us. When our child, when we have been numbered on that census as born among his Zion, this privilege we will give an answer for soon on that great day of days. You will answer for this concerning your own souls, but we will answer for this also concerning the souls of our children. Therefore, how necessary that blood becomes, not only for our children, but that blood also for us as parents. But it is not only a responsibility. It is also an extremely great blessing, because not only is there a census concerning that outward church, but the Lord also speaks in a special way here of those that are born unto His true church. That is, those who are truly born again, those who are born in Zion. The Lord shall count when He writeth up the people that this man was born there, that respects the promise of the Lord. And what is that promise? He says, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. Thus, even the enemies of the Lord are here mentioned, and then it is prophesied that the Lord is going to gather His church, not only among the Jewish people, but that that word is going to be spread, and all over the world, even among those that were enemies of God's people, that church will be brought in. And thus that word is coming also to us and unto our children in this day. And therefore, the upbringing of your children that need not be only done in a matter of duty and in a matter of fear, but it also may be done in supplication. It may be done in prayer. It may be done with hope. It may be done in expectation. What would you desire more, parents, when you consider the future of your children? What now would you desire more than this? That when the Lord is writing up His people, that this child and that all your children may be numbered on that census, that this man was born there. What would you desire more than this? What are you willing to sacrifice for this, that this may truly be? What are you willing to give up in this world, that this may be? You say, maybe, do I have to give something up for this? Must I sacrifice something for this? Is not the Lord sovereign indeed? But do you know what we read the Lord says of Abraham, to whom that promise came? He says, I know that the Lord will, that Abraham will command his children after him, that I may fulfill what I have promised to him. Thus, so much is depending on our upbringing of our children, that the Lord may perform His promise. The Lord give to you that desire within your hearts, that it may live in you day by day, that when the Lord writes up His people, that the Lord may count to say that this child was also born there. The Lord remember you with your children. While the children are brought in, we will sing from Psalter 238, the third stanza, and after baptism, we ask you to arise and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. So 238, stanza 3. Joel Mark, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Celine Anna, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Ryan Joel, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Owen Thomas, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Lucas Ralph, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Stella Joan, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally and praise and magnify thee and thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen these parents in this most holy work, in the upbringing of these children which thou hast entrusted unto their care, for a short while in the midst of this world, and they must give them back unto thee, or that they may receive a place by thee, that they may feel something of this responsibility not only, but that they may experience something also of thy help, of thy guidance, and that thou may grant them yet eyes to behold the blessing that may rest upon it, that the fear of thy name may be evident not only in their own hearts, but that it may become evident in the hearts of their young children, when they may fear to walk in the ways of sin, and when that tender fear of thy name may be evident in their young lives. Do remember the grandparents and great-grandparents, thou knowest also where that they are, and the hopes and the expectations, the desires that may live within their hearts for their seed. Oh, that they may receive also a place by thee, to lay before thee the upgrowing generation, that they may receive also a testimony to speak in the midst of their families, and to give a testimony of that work which the Lord has done unto them, that they may be given yet also a warning voice in the midst of this generation wherein their grandchildren do grow up, that thou may look upon us together in the need of the bodies also, for many needs are upon us, and especially because of our sin, so that there is so much misery to be experienced in this world, that thou may show thyself to be near, and that thou thyself would show that thou art not only our maker, but that thou art also our provider. Do bless the means that may be used in the midst of us as a congregation, the school, the catechism classes, the confession class, and the services in thy house. Oh, that thou may remember us also in this hour, when we hope to bring this little portion of thy word, then we need to receive strength from thee and the opening of thy Holy Spirit, that there may be room also in the midst of this flock to receive it in this hour, and that thy name may receive the glory and the honor. Forgive thou, and take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 125, stanzas 1, 4, 6, and 7. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. We make the following announcement at our male members meeting this past week. Mr. Garrett Van Heerden was re-elected and given to accept the office of elder once again. Mr. Patrick DeLeo was elected to the office of deacon but had no freedom to accept. The Lord willing, installation will take place during the afternoon service of Sunday, January the 7th. And the last collection today is for the Student Support Fund, Psalter 125, 1, 4, 6, and 7. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion of God's Word that was read to you, Psalm 87, and thereof the third verse. Psalm 87, verse 3. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Selah. So far, the words of our text. And we wish to consider the glorious things spoken of the city of God. And we want to consider in the first place who that this city of God is. And in the second place, the glorious things that are spoken of her. Thus, the glorious things spoken of the city of God first, who this city of God is, and is second, the glorious things spoken of her. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Thus we read here of a city, and that city that is called by the name of God. The devil, he took the Lord Jesus, we read, to a very high mountain, and he showed to him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. We may ask, how is that possible? Are all those kingdoms of the world in the hand of the devil? And does Satan have the rights upon them and the ability to give or to withhold all of those things? The Lord, he is king of this whole universe. But the Lord, we can read in the book of Job, it is his will that he gives Satan a certain power in the midst of this world. Satan certainly has not that freedom to carry out his own will. In all things, he must receive permission from the Lord. But Satan, he is, though chained, he is on, we would say, a very long chain. Thus, he is given much power by permission of the Lord in this world. And we can read at the end of time how that Satan also will be loosed, and certainly parents, we see that in our days that loosening of Satan coming to pass, so that it will become more and more difficult to raise our children in this world. Satan, he is called the prince of this world. And why the prince of this world? Because the whole world goes a-whoring after him. Do we also go a-whoring after him? Because we are children of Adam, who has also made that same choice for Satan rather than the Lord. But now, in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation, we can read in God's Word that there exists what is called the city of God. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Thus we may ask, who now is this city of God? Well, we read in the second verse, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. So Zion, Zion, that is the city of God, And we know, of course, there was a Mount Zion that was where Zion dwelt. But that word Zion, though it may have begun speaking about a single mount, later on we can read how that included was also Mount Moriah, and sometimes also the other surrounding mountains of Mount Zion. Upon Mount Zion was built, children, what city? Say that was Jerusalem. That is right. That is called in God's word the city of David. David, he did not build it originally. We know that it exists for several hundred years before David. But David has overtaken that city. He has claimed it for his own. He has built there his own house. And upon that mountain next to Mount Zion, upon Mount Moriah, was later on built the very temple of the Lord. But it is one thing for a mountain to be called, or for a city to be called, the city of David. But in God's word we read it is called also the city of God. Thus, for God to call a city after his own name, what would that be? If our little city here of Fort McLeod, that the Lord would be pleased to call it after his own name, the city of God. You say, would you desire that you may live in such a city that is called after the name of the Lord? Well, how did that city dwell in the midst of all the nations of the world that were around it? We can read that they dwelt there as a despised city. They dwelt there as a despised place. It was ridiculed of all the people in the world. What people had more enemies than the city of God? Think of the Philistines. Think of the Egyptians. Think of the Syrians, the Assyrians, the Chaldeans, Babylonia. How many enemies did surround the city of God? Sennacherib, Rabshakeh, they have come at one point and surrounded that entire city, despising it and mocking with it. Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arphad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Who is the Lord that he should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Thus mocking with that city that was called after the name of the Lord. Satan does not cease to mock with the city of God. Also today, you say, what is that city now today? That city that is no longer the city of Jerusalem. That is no longer that city that is dwelling upon Mount Zion. No, Jerusalem that was destroyed in 70 AD. And why was it destroyed? It was destroyed because they had cast out their king. It is true, you say, that city was also rebuilt. That is true. But that city has never again become the theocracy that it was before. And thus, it speaks no longer of that nation, that one nation whose capital was in Jerusalem. But it is speaking about a people whose city that shall be forever and forever. the city of God, the church of God, that may dwell here below, and that will dwell also above. And when that city is dwelling here below, how is that city now dwelling? In the midst of the world, amidst all the nations of the world, then it continues the same. Then it continues to be a despised city, a despised people, a people who are ridiculed, a people who are looked down upon in this world, a people who are mocked. Young people, are you ashamed of the city of God? Some of you may go to university. Some of you may labor amidst all the men of this world, worldly persons. Are you ashamed of the city of God? We live in a world that exalts the reason of man. There is nothing wrong with reason. Reason that comes from the Lord. But man today exalts reason above faith, where reason that must be put in its right place in this world as it is used by the Lord Jesus himself. Thus we live in a world that is mocking with what? It is mocking with faith. Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed when this world that says you cannot explain God? You cannot reason out the Trinity? Are you ashamed when the world is mocking? When they mock with creation? When they mock with the incarnation of the Son of God? Are you ashamed when the world is mocking with the resurrection? The hope of the church of God? Are you ashamed when the world is mocking with the Son of God? With the ascension, with the work, the mediatorial work of the Son of God? Satan is mocking, forever mocking with this city. He is mocking with her simplicity. He is mocking with her supposed ignorance. He mocks with her weakness. He comes to speak even within the heart of the people, to make accusations against them for their guilt, for the continuing corruption that is living within their hearts. The adversaries, they are reproaching the soul of that people. They say God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him, because there is none to deliver him. And we can read also how that Zion is taking that over by times into her own soul. That Zion, she says, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord, he has forgotten me. But what is now the word of the Lord in the midst of all the mockery of the devil? What is now the word of the Lord amidst all the mockery of the men of this world? Well, that word of the Lord is, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. What things are they that are spoken of that city? That is our second thought. They are glorious things. And the word glorious, what does that mean? It has the regular meaning that we conceive of when we think about the glory of something, the exaltedness of something. But that word, that actually means also heavy. Thus, glorious things, they are heavy things. They are very weighty things that are spoken of the city of God. Thus we think of things that are of greatest importance, of the greatest weight in the life of a person. Weighty things. Weighty things. They are over against things that are light. Over against things that are vain. Over against things that are empty. What did Solomon write? He said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Surely, he said, men of low degree are vanity. Men of high degree, they are a lie. Together, if they would be laid in the balance, he said, they would be lighter than vanity. They would be lighter than emptiness. That is the earth. That is what is earthy. That is man himself. But the Lord says different of that city of God. Concerning that city of God, David, by the inspiration of the Spirit of the Lord, he says glorious things, weighty things. They are spoken of this city. Did you ever think so? Did you ever consider something of the glorious things spoken of that city? The Lord, he says of his church, that I will cause them to inherit substance. To inherit not emptiness, but I will cause them to inherit substance. That which has meaning. That which fulfills. I will cause them to inherit substance, and I will fill, he says, all their treasures, glorious things. Say, what kind of things? How can we make a beginning, actually? God, how can we really preach about such a text? Where is the beginning of the glorious things that are spoken of the city of God? And where is the end of those glorious things? We can but speak only of a few of those things. And we read of one of those. They are written here in that first verse. What does David say in verse 1? He says, his foundation is in the holy mountains. Thus we read of one of those glorious things that is spoken of that city of God, and that has to do with its foundation. That has to do with the place whereupon the Lord has built that city, whereupon that city that is standing. And it says that is in the holy mountains. It is in the first place, the mountains. It is not upon the plain where it is built on a sandy foundation. No, it is built upon a firm, it is built upon an immovable rock. Maybe some of you have seen some of the pictures that we have seen several years ago when there were tsunamis. And then I have seen that with my own eyes, how that they have showed those waters taking whole houses with them into the sea. And the inhabitants of those houses fleeing into the hills, into the mountains. Those things which we consider to be the most stable, our own house, our own home, where we go to for safety, for protection, that entire house washing out as a little toy into the sea. Fearful. his foundations is in the holy mountains. The foundation of that city of God, that is a foundation that is immovable, that is so firm that it cannot be undermined by anything and by anyone. The stability of that church of God that is immovably grounded on the unchangeable covenant of the Lord. There was a first covenant, and that first covenant was broken. What an awful thing. How is that possible that that first covenant was broken? Was it not made? Indeed. Did Adam not promise? Indeed. How could it be broken? Because Adam was changeable. And therefore that covenant that can bring us nothing today. But therefore the Lord has also sworn another covenant. But he has not made that covenant with a changeable man. But that is a covenant that was made between the Father and the Son. It is made between him that cannot lie and him that cannot lie. Thus, an unchangeable and unbreakable covenant. Why? Because hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? How discomforting is that lie? That lie that says that the salvation of a man is depending upon his own choice and his own ability to fulfill it. As if a man would choose for God. What does man choose for? What do we choose for? What do you choose for? Fathers, mothers, young people, what is our choice? Our choice is one. Our choice is with Adam. Our choice, that is a wrong choice. It is an evil choice. And if there was ever anything that depended upon our choice, that we would choose that which is good, then you understand that there would be no hope. Completely hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. Thus, a discomforting lie. But that is now not the stability of the city of God. The city of God that is built upon another foundation. And that is not the choice of a man, but it is the choice of the Lord. Because the stability of that Zion that is based on the unconditional electing love of the Father. Paul, he says that there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Why is there such a remnant? That choice of man that is not based upon the sending of Christ. It is not based upon the sending of the Spirit. No, that election of the church that is standing as the ground, the reason for which Christ was sent. It is standing at the foundation necessary for Christ to be sent, necessary for Christ to die, to pay that price. Why? Because the Lord has chosen Zion. Because the Lord will have a city of God. The sending of the Spirit, necessary. Why? Because the Lord has chosen Zion. Because the Lord, He will gather His own church. And it is for this reason, and for this reason only, that the Lord has a willing people. It is a willing people, we read, in the day of His power. Did you ever experience it to be so? Oh, they are such glorious things that are then spoken of the city of God. Why? Because that is a people who are included in the eternal thoughts of the divine being. What does David say? He says, "The Lord thinketh upon me." Is that not a wonder? Would that not be a wonder? If the Lord in heaven would have thoughts of us. But what does the Lord say concerning the city of God? He says, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Thus, that drawing love that is bound to the electing love of the Father, that cannot be separated from it. And thus those who may experience something of that drawing love, they may, with a holy rationality, they may know something of the election according to grace. Oh, how discomforting is that lie that says that people can fall from grace. Would David have been glad with this? That it is possible to fall from grace? Would Peter have been glad with this? What would have happened to the assurance of the Apostle Paul when he would consider it possible to fall out of grace? That man who had to say of himself, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But it was not possible. That was his very rejoicing, whereby he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." No, his foundation is in the holy mountains. That was not a foundation that was laying in the holiness of David, or in the holiness of Peter, or in the holiness of Paul. But his foundation, the ground that is in those holy mountains, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Isaiah, he speaks about the walls of that city. He says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah, we have a strong city, salvation hath God appointed for walls and bulwarks." Walls. What good are walls? Today, of course, when there is an enemy, then the walls will not do us much good anymore, because our warfare that has greatly changed. But you understand, in the time that David lived, that walls, they were the safety, they were the protection of the people. Sometimes, then they had double walls, two walls on the outside of that city. And you understand that the people, when they would look for safety, that they were running to be within that city because there was much comfort that was given to them by these walls. And outside of those walls, then they were exposed to the enemy. What man does not care for his own safety? Each and every one of us is most concerned about the safety of ourselves. This world, our hearts, they are very often filled with fear. Fear of what? Children, are you sometimes afraid? What are you afraid of? Maybe you say, I'm afraid of the dark. Or I'm afraid of a big dog. I'm afraid to get sick. So many things we may be afraid of in this world. And why are you afraid? Well, maybe if you think a little further, you say, I'm afraid to die. That is right. We are afraid to die. And why are we afraid to die? We are afraid to die because the Apostle Paul says that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. If there was no judgment, then death, that would be a matter of a transition. But after death, that is the judgment. And therefore, our real fear, that is actually of that death because of that judgment that is following. And all of our other fears, boys and girls, of the dog, of sickness, they are really fears of death and of judgment. Why would a man fear judgment? Why? Only because of sin. You are not afraid, children, of your father, right? But if you do wrong, then you are afraid. Because then you will appear before your father, and your father must act then somewhat as a judge. And if we have to go into the court, then people who have done nothing wrong, they are not afraid. Not afraid of the judge. Because they do not have that sin. But a man who is guilty, he is afraid of the judge. Because he knows that he will be punished. Thus, the cause of that fear of that death, the cause of that fear of judgment, that is all lying in sin. But glorious things, they are spoken of the city of God. We read, Isaiah says, we have a strong city salvation hath God appointed for walls and bulwarks. Salvation. What is salvation? That is deliverance from sin. That is the blessing that is attributed to Zion. The Lord says of that city of God, I will be merciful to her transgressions and her sins and her iniquities, I will remember no more. Are they not glorious things that are spoken of that city of God? Because that is then the safety of those inhabitants. That one thing that is feared, that is taken away from that people. Felix trembled when Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He only reasoned. Was Felix sick and ready to die? No. But it was only in his thoughts. And even when he was thinking of that judgment, he was already trembling. Oh, Felix, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how will you contend with horses? How will it be when you actually come into the judgment? Paul, he says, being justified by faith, we have peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, having made peace by the blood of his cross, that he might reconcile by him all things unto himself, that acquitted soul, that is, that has that sin taken away. And then there is, congregation, nothing else anymore for that people to fear. Are they not glorious things that are spoken of the people, the city of God? And when the Lord is reconciling that people to himself, and when he is giving them to live in reconciliation with himself in that city of God, then he is building that wall of protection around them so that there is not a single enemy in this world that is able to touch them. The Lord said to Zechariah that the time was coming that Jerusalem was going to be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein, for I will be a fire round about them, and I will be the glory that is within them. Oh, let faith come into exercise for just a moment in that city of God. And they will feel something of the safety of that blood of Jesus Christ. Did you ever experience something of the walls that are built around your soul? Built around your soul by that blood of sprinkling glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. What a glorious supply is given to that city. A supply for this world. Their water shall be given, their bread shall be given them, their water shall be sure. Bring them in the desert, and the Lord, he will give them manna from heaven. If they have to suffer persecution, then he will give the ravens to bring them a meat and bread. And then they may drink. They may drink not only of the river of this world, but they may drink of the fountain of eternal life. From rivers of unfailing joy, their thirst that shall be supplied. When they may drink of the fountain of the doctrines of free and sovereign grace in that city. In that city, publicans, they are invited to meet. In that city, the ungodly are justified. In that city, sinners, they are reconciled to God. In that city, the gospel that is preached unto the poor, glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Consider the laws, consider the ordinances of that city that are reigning within the boundaries of that city. Oh, they are governed by the law of love. It is a law that is written upon the tables of their heart. And all of the ordinances, they are all for the benefit of the inhabitants of that city, to nourish the life of their souls, to draw their heart unto the king of that city, that they would run after him. And as long as that flesh remains and the sinful infirmities, they are cleaving unto their flesh, then the Lord is giving grace, grace, grace to be published within the walls of that city. The Prince Emmanuel reigning within its walls. Oh, they have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of their infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as they are, and yet without sin. And so they are waiting. They are waiting for another day. They are waiting for that glorious, glorious day when this corruption that shall put on incorruption, when this mortality shall put on an immortality, and when done away will be that burden of sin, when it shall no more enter in. Oh, did you ever taste something of the crumbs which fall from this master's table? Because to taste of that crumb, that is to taste something of the glorious things that are spoken of the city of God. And if it is such a glorious thing to taste of those little crumbs, then what shall it be when that people are taken in, brought, carried in as a lame Mephibosheth, and there set at that table of the king, and that forever and forever, how they will sink away in wonderment, sinking away in humility, to say unto the Lord, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, congregation, the Lord shall count. When he writeth up the people, he shall count. This man was born there. Oh, shall our name also be counted among that people? Christ, he says, I am the door. If by me any man enter in, he shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can but say a few things, and they cannot enter into that glory, because we are so of the earth, earthy. But could it please thee to give in the heart of each and every one of us, that we may see just a little bit, and that our hearts may be drawn away, away, away from all that is drawing us in this world, and that we may be given to seek after thee while it is still called today. Oh, it is a day of grace. It lasts not long. Bless thou thy word. Bring us safely home. Forgive all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 131, all the stanzas. The Lord is great. With worthy praise, proclaim his power, his name confess. Within the city of our God, upon his mount of holiness. 1 through 4 of Psalter 131. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.